Hello, welcome to the audio commentary for The Simpsons, episode 2F11 called Bart's Comet. It originally aired on February the 5th, 1995. My name is Yardley Smith, and I do the voice of Lisa Simpson.
I'm Dan Kessel, and I love this couch game.
That's the Fleischer animation, right? Fleischer? Yeah. Would do those things growing up looking at that stuff.
Dan Castellaneta, I'm the voice of Hans Moleman.
And I'm Bob Anderson, I'm the director of this episode.
I'm Matt Groening, the creator of Milhouse.
David Merkin, executive producer, showrunner, and I will say, people always ask us these kind of things. This is one of my favorite episodes of all time. I think it's one of the perfect Simpsons episodes. I like it from start to finish, and it's a terrific directing job, sir. Very, very nice.
Thank you,
David. What constitutes a favorite for you, David?
Well, you know, it kind of has everything going for it that you can do in animation. It has a giant plot, and yet it also has a lot of small observational humor at the same time. And it's incredibly funny. It's something you couldn't do in a regular show. It's incredibly funny, but it actually also has some moving moments in it for me as well. So it kind of completely runs the gamut.
And I like it because it's something that you couldn't do in any other medium but animation.
Yes.
And not only that, no one else has done it before, and we haven't done it before.
That's right. That's right. And of course, you saw it's written by John Swartzwelder, who's written more Simpsons than anyone, and this was completely... up his alley. It's something, an idea we kind of all came up with together, not in our normal story conference, but it was actually on the cover of Time magazine that the idea of that comets might hit the Earth. And this was all before those movies. This is probably the same thing that inspired those comet hitting the Earth movies. But we got to it first because those movies took longer to make and develop, and we were able to do it. But it was basically, we were looking at this Time magazine cover. We needed a story idea for John, and he was into it. I was completely into it. My obsession with space and everything. And we worked it out in the room over a couple of days. That shooting down the Iraqi jets, that's pure Swartzwelder. And the fact that the two guys are arguing about the policy and money and they start fighting, that's pure John. That's the kind of thing that he does all the time. I love the fact that the two guys survive falling out and then start beating each other up.
And that seems to be almost to go all the way back to Buster Keaton, because that's what Buster Keaton would do. He'd do these big physical gags, and you think that would be it, and then the gag would continue and continue and continue.
It is. It's very classic, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. AIDS science. And I love this story between Bart and Skinner are fantastic together. They're a classic comedy team. And I love his speech about, you know, science has everything. It involves paying attention, sitting still, right? You know, just the opposite.
I love that Bart doesn't know there's a 4:30 in the morning. That's such a kid observation.
There's a 4:30 in the morning now. This is very much the way I would feel waking up anytime early. I don't like getting up early, and Bob really captured it in the drawings. Why exactly Bart needs a flashlight to get around instead of turning on lights, I don't know, but it seemed to work.
Like what your pets do when you're not looking, is that the
game? Exactly. Schwarzweiler always had a tendency to push the pets. He's the one that made the pets actually speak in the Stampy episode, Bart Gets an Elephant. This is based on... my childhood, too, of having these generator things.
Oh, yeah.
And you put them on, and it makes it so you couldn't pedal at all. The only thing inaccurate about that is the light shouldn't be as bright. It would only, like, so dimly glow for a second and then go
brown.
And, I was always disappointed in those.
I thought maybe he was training for the NFL, pulling that thing behind him. Paying
attention. I love the clouds in this.
Beautiful.
It really looks nice, and he really captured the feeling of early morning, I think, and you know, being up before the sun.
You know, on the internet, there you can download Simpsons clouds.
Really?
Yeah, there's like a Simpsons font. There's a Simpsons clouds, and they look just like that.
Big influence on the Simpsons, the Three Stooges. Sad to say, but true.
Right. and you've never.
No, they're great. No, they're great.
Now we love them. They're geniuses. It's genius. I think it's wonderful stuff. I mean, I
Curly
watch
Joe
them.
Rita, Joe Besser, all
the best Curlies ever. Curly Joe, Curly. Yeah. No, the original Three Stooges are just they're stunning. Stunning how good those movies are, and particularly how quickly they shot them. The sound effects are perfect. Everything about those films is great, and I could not get enough of them growing up.
Sometimes I think that's because they didn't overthink it back then. They went, well, why shouldn't it work?
That's right.
And so
actually,
then it did.
I watched Three Stooges recently, and I think they have a lot in common with The Simpsons in that relentlessly joke after joke, very, very quick.
Yes, and also beautifully emotional and poignant.
No sighting. Their real lives were.
Now, this took a lot of guts to write like this because it was what was funny about it was how boring it was. And that's one of the hardest things to write, which is he's giving the ascension and the declination and citing nothing.
Now, do
and
you know this stuff? Is this stuff that...
It's fairly accurate.
That's good enough for
this is kind of the way you discover a comet. It would never be this quick, but this is kind of the way you would do it. You find something and then you call it in and, you know, talk to an astronomer.
You don't spin the telescope?
Yes, this is where don't touch the telescope, and this is pure Bart. Not even touch it. He just, every possible thing wrong he could do, he does.
Wails on it.
And of course, the lesson here is if you screw with it and you misbehave, you'll discover your own comet and you'll become famous. So don't be afraid to misbehave, kids. Don't listen to adults.
I see something in the sky at 4:12:08 and last number is 7.
He doesn't even bother to keep it there.
Got you, my rumpy doppelganger.
I just think this was a great prank by Bart, you know, and again, Bob designed the perfect balloon here that just, you know, big butt.
And there it goes.
Do you remember this episode? I mean, I always ask animators this question.
Oh, yeah, I remember this. I can't believe it was 10 years ago. I do remember wanting to do a shot of the Earth on his last no. Just cut to the shot of the Earth for
no.
Oh, I see. Yes.
That's what they did on Roger Ramjet.
Yes.
They didn't want to animate the entire Earth.
Would have been my homage.
Yes.
We've done that a couple times, but not in this particular show.
What did you do today, Bart? What didn't I do? Boy discovers comet.
He's right on the front page. And the great thing is Lisa's
and nobody's
reaction.
Seen it.
This is Lisa. At first, you're very annoyed about it, and then you like him later, which I really
the evening
like.
Edition paper.
Yes.
Because that morning, the paper said President the Schools for Losers.
Right.
Yeah,
Fred
says, yeah, everything bad happened to Skinner
don't
that
you
morning.
You enjoyed us, Bart?
Ham.
I think, yeah.
Ham.
He's ham because he enjoys ham radio.
Which you do, but that's, yeah, that's
that, that
that's
was a version of me. All the nerds are some version of me, I guess. This is database. And this is the first database.
Can I say something as somebody who was in on the show from almost the very beginning? Database drives me up the wall.
I love database.
I know. Everybody does, but I...
But this is database's... This is Database's best performance, though, because we had just the right. We had very few lines. You can't listen to Database for a long time without being driven up a wall. Matt's not alone.
The spinoff is going to.
Well, I'm done eating. Goodbye.
Bye, bye.
Perhaps some night you could show us your comet.
There it is right there.
I'm making the point never to turn my head unless I expect to see something, Bart. Naturally, we can't see your comet in broad daylight and without a telescope.
But you don't need a stupid telescope. It's right there.
Oh, no. This isn't right at all. It must be coming toward us at a fantastic speed.
Uh-huh. Don't you realize what's happening, Bart? Your comet is going to collide with the Earth.
But yeah, data says it must be coming at us at an enormous speed is one of the funniest readings and, you know, combination of readings and writing ever.
That's Nancy, right?
That's
Nancy.
She's great.
That's Nancy.
And that was Pam?
That was Pam.
That was Pam, yes.
We are the Super Friends!
Hey, shut up.
I do like that. I love that.
It's a great, there's a lot of anti-nerd.
And don't get me wrong about Database. It is, I can take Database for a sentence.
That's why it's perfect in this. That's it for Database, pretty much. I mean, it's all done.
Sounds like the doomsday whistle.
Okay, there's a general store in the middle of nowhere, yeah.
That's where you can get dry goods.
Schwarzwelder, left to his own devices, will always pull us back into the 40s. I mean, he's still, and I'm not kidding, if you look at him walking down the street, he almost looks like a guy from the 40s. Walking. He's literally in black and white walking down a color street. It's amazing.
He used to have the oldest, biggest Cadillac ever made.
That's right.
Really, you know, and it was always, he'd always be the last one to leave the parking lot late at night. You know, trying to turn over and get the ignition to catch for like 15 minutes.
Fortunately, we have. There's two lines to charred corpses. One was not enough. That's what was important, right, Bob? Is to have two lines to charred corpses.
Just take your seat. Just take your seat. Now, working with former Carter administration officials and military men who were forced to...
You know, and the size of the story is great because, again, it shows how a government comes together to help people and fails. And that's an important thing to see, that all authority figures are idiots, nobody knows what they're doing, and if you put your life in their hands, you're doomed. And both times, Mo's bar catches on fire.
Poor Mo.
Even if the town is saved, his bar is still going to get it.
You can't get him free.
This is pure Schwarzwelder, the idea that people would now laugh at the comet, point and laugh at it, and sort of thumb their noses at nature. That's always a good idea for humans to do, by the way.
Because that'll work out for you.
It's going to work out. We dominate nature. We can. We always will. That doesn't scare us. That's part of the point of this.
So we don't have to think all the time. Just like that rainforest care.
What about the background in a scene like this, Bob? Do you do like, you know, 8 inches of background and just keep running it? As it goes
like,
by in the car?
Like what we'd call like an A to C or an A to D pan. If the shot's going to be that long.
Right.
Sometimes we'll design a scene for like an A to D pan, but we'll only go A to C and that'll be it.
And do the houses get to be different colors? So that you can't notice as much?
No, because the house at the A-peg is the same as the house at the D-peg. So they're the same color, because when it gets there, then they shift it back to repeat it.
Oh, I see.
Houses in between are different colors.
Right.
I love the lighting in this scene, by the way, Bob.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask, is this the first time the Simpsons have got lawn chairs on the roof to watch them?
Might have been.
Might have been.
It might have been. This also, this is my sequence. For him to just go the do-do-do-do's until it drove everybody crazy. And I love the way, I love how, I've never seen Bart get this angry at his father, Bob, but the way he'd draw him. There, right there. That's about his angry. He looks like he's going to punch him. And, Dan, that's the greatest voice.
This is very similar to my relationship with my sons. I have to say.
That's true.
You've seen it, Dan.
Yes, I have. But that usually happens when you're 80 and your sons are, you know, 60 or 50 years old.
Only bridge out of town becomes bridge out. See, that was a very clever sign joke. Just in case you didn't catch that.
And the collar yank, have we ever revealed what that's...
That's based on Charles Nelson Reilly, who from The Ghost of Mrs. Muir. He used to do that a lot in there whenever he would see the ghost or get scared and... That was only on for like half a season, so it's an amazingly weird reference that we go back to again and again and again.
It's funny, though, that was written, because that's what I used to do as a gag in high school with a friend. I used to do the Chuck, like that.
And now you do it for a living.
And now I do it for a living.
Good. That's good.
Let's go live now to the charred remains of the only bridge out of town with Arnie Pie and Arnie in the Sky.
Now, this is the other reason I love this show. It has lots and lots of death in it as these people try to get across.
That's reminiscent of the earthquake in San Francisco, right, where some people tried to make it over the bridge.
Or the Northridge earthquake where part of the freeway dropped out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's all based on real death. No, it wasn't really. This this was just stupid. And I love the way Arnie in the sky, Pie in the Sky, is still eating his donut, even though people are dying below him. He doesn't ruin his appetite at all. He doesn't.
Ken Brockman's pretty upbeat, too, with only 6 hours to live.
He's in a good mood. This is, again, I really think this sequence brilliantly captures how government doesn't work, because they put the perverted arts bill on in addition to the Springfield evacuation bill, and so it gets voted down. And I made sure we put this line right in there.
Now, he didn't say government. He said democracy doesn't work.
The whole democracy does not work.
For one reason or another, he just cannot report.
And this is the list of gay people. And I know I'm on the list.
Right.
They're like all mostly the writers.
Mostly the writers. Mostly
production
all of us.
We had to sign an agreement saying we wouldn't sue.
I think we did. Yes. Yeah, we did. We put our names on it, and then it was a big legal thing. so that we couldn't then come after our own show for saying we were gay.
And now, by the way, we're on all sorts of internet lists.
Is that right?
Result, yes.
Is it, so people actually think we are gay?
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you're part of the gay mafia.
Okay, so just in case there was any question, every single writer on The Simpsons is gay.
We have a bomb shelter?
Well, you may as well be. You're all part of
that's
the Hollywood.
Right. And I would say any writer that comes on that is not gay leaves gay. And that's part of the rule.
Now, is this in Flanders' backyard?
That's in Flanders'
for this
backyard.
Episode,
have you ever
yes.
noticed it before?
He seems to come and go a bit.
You know, I built the shelter big enough for both our families.
No deal, out.
Yes!
this is another reason why I love this episode. This is based on the scariest Twilight Zone I've ever seen. Which I think I have in the notes, it's the monsters are coming to Maple Street, but I'm not sure if that's the one. There was one that where one family in the area had a bomb shelter. And this was during, I grew up, you know, most of us did, grew up with the scare of the Cold War and there was going to be nuclear weapons. And a few people in the neighborhood would have bomb shelters, but only a few. And when on the Twilight Zone episode, they say they're coming, the bombs are coming. Everybody comes to the one-person shelter, and all these friendly neighbors start fighting, and it becomes a... And then it turns out to be not true.
There it is.
There it is, right there. It scared me more than any horror movie as a kid. It scared me more than any monster thing, any kind of killer. That was what I was afraid of, not having a shelter and being left out and all that. So this was all inspired by that. And, of course, we do the switch on the joke instead of people insisting to come in. As soon as he says there's no room, oh, sorry, we'll see you later. Right. We'll go off and die. That's what I would have liked to have happened, but it didn't. Now, this is something that no one's ever noticed or mentioned in any of the internets that I've seen. And here's the shot right here coming up. I put Waldo in there on the top because the Where's Waldo books were popular at the time. And I thought everyone on the internet would notice it. Nobody
look at
did.
Spock now.
Yeah, he disappears. He's only in that one shot.
That one shot.
But it's a true Where's, because all those faces were going to look like Where's Waldo, so we've turned it into that.
I think I know what cell setup I'm going to ask for.
Right?
So now maybe it'll give them something to talk about, because they really do run out of things to talk about on those internet chat rooms.
Okay, let's start again. Laughter, religious enlightenment, gossip. That's Mrs. Love.
And I think it does. It gets into the questions about, you know, how we're going to treat each other under these conditions and who's important and who isn't. So it really, even though it's a big, silly story, it has a lot of
moral fiber to it.
A lot of moral fiber, a lot of horrible behavior, like him saying that the father should die and apologizing to the kids at the same time.
Todd has a shotgun here, too, didn't he?
The performance of, which I love what you did, Bob,
When he's
crying, when he puts the shell in the shotgun and cocks it, because he's crying, yeah. But he's still very good at cocking the shotgun.
I remember who laid these out, Isfahan Majordos, and I specifically told them to delineate each shell.
Okay, Dad.
Okay.
Hey. Here we go. And we got the perfect little sound when that went in. We got the. It's about as, you know, that's good dark stuff. And, you know, I am a fan of that. And you see that they feel guilty. They actually, you know, they actually have hearts. So in all the silliness, we are seeing some human condition at the same time.
I'll make the sound of a barnyard animal, and you all try to guess what it is. It's a pig.
That was the perfect sound that Hank did, by the way. You couldn't describe it.
That covers
it
all the animals, right?
It could be any of the animals.
You crazy.
Dar, what's it to you?
What's it to me?
And then this was a line that we knew was great for Marge, because it's just perfect.
Can't you see this barnyard noise guessing game is tearing us apart?
That's a lot of figures, especially when they're arguing. So, does each person, like, is each one separately animated and then put together, or how is that done?
I think on the layouts, we had four levels of character, at least four levels of characters. And then the specific one per scene, like Homer acting would have been on his own level.
Oh, I see. So someone would be a group of characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you'd have maybe your front row, then the next two rows, and then Homer, and then the rows behind him, and then maybe the upper.
If you are going, I am going.
Me
child!
The song Que Sera was just the perfect song because it really is about what this is, that you really can't necessarily control whether you're going to live or die, and you should relax about it. And the great thing is we didn't change it. He still says when I was just a little girl, which was a little bit of fun with Flanders. Now, this, I actually found this song to be very moving, and particularly when everybody shows up, because that's just when the entire orchestra comes in. So it's a very emotional moment, this shot. You get a little bird leather, as they say.
Sort of Coca-Cola commercial.
Yeah, it kind of has that feeling to it, doesn't it? We've been programmed to like people coming over a hill and hugging each other for some reason from all those, the Sound of Music and all that. And then also the end of this is totally based on the fact that Springfield has too much pollution. That's what saves their lives. Because they have an extra thick layer of pollution, that's why. And you see, it all ties up. It gets rid of that. See, that falls down if they were in it. And just as, this is also a joke of mine, the idea that you could pick something up that would be that hot and put it in your pocket. I often kid people when I say, I was in Hawaii and the greatest thing was to go to the volcano, and there's nothing like holding molten lava in your hand. The feel of that.
I'll bet you there isn't.
Yeah. And people will always not realize I'm kidding. They go, really?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, though. The locals don't like it. I tried to rent a car on the Big Island, and the woman said, well, you can't go driving on the certain road. Because And I go, well, when you're driving through molten lava, how fast should you go? We're not renting you a car.
They love jokers. And, of course, the entire problem with the story is that Homer turned out to be right. And that was the scariest part of the story, that his prediction came true. So, anyway, to me, one of my very favorite episodes. People are always wondering what this one. And I've seen it many, many times since. It's one that I happen to catch periodically, and I still always love it. I really do. And, obviously, I'm alone. You can hear by the silence. But I liked it.
The idea of you watching this over and over again is very strange.
By the end of it, I just picture me dancing around my living room to this music and singing.
I could see you with,
girl.
You know.
Not those tapes. Yeah. You don't have to
in a room in Las Vegas with your feet in Kleenex boxes and people washing your food and you watching that over and over.
Just, that's my life. Lovely.
Good job, everyone.
Good job, everyone.
Especially you, Matt Groening, and James L. Brooks, and you, shushy person.